is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We've kind of categorized our Christianity, church, home, work. We categorize it. The Bible never does. And so we have this terminology, I've got to balance it. I need to balance it. There's got to be a balance. If you mean time I spend at home and time I spend here, then okay. But when it comes to serving the Lord and being all in for Him, you don't balance it. You're all in. It's 100%. You say, Lord, what do you want?
Do you compartmentalize your faith? In other words, do you go to church on Sunday, put on a good face, and then sometimes forget to include Jesus in your daily life the rest of the week? In today's challenging message, Pastor Troy encourages you to give God your all. The first step to this kind of surrender is to simply ask Jesus what He wants you to do with your life. Once He answers, it's your obligation as His servants to do as He says. Jesus is not just your Savior, He is also your Lord. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock in Hebrews chapter 2.
There needs to be a fear of the Lord, an awe, reverence, and even a holy, trembling fear of God. He's speaking of the Jewish law when he refers to angels that had given, and they heeded the angels. The angels were involved in delivering or confirming certain portions of the law. In Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 53, we read, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." By the direction of angels. And he says, if that which was directed by angels brought reward or brought curses or consequences, how much more salvation, which is in Christ? How much more if you neglect what he says concerning salvation, trusting in the Lord, faith, following him? How much more? If you return back to the law and you neglect the grace of God, how much more? If you trample the grace of God, not knowing that you were bought at a price, how much more? So the idea is Israel had feared the angels. They'd feared the law that brought consequences, and that they need to fear the one who is greater than the angels. How much more so? The fear of the Lord is missing today. There is no fear of the Lord in His church. Maybe we've become too familiar with Him. There's no more fear and awe in our worship. I see we can yawn in worship. You know, my son's kind of getting involved in CAP, and I remember in the military, it's a kind of a young version of the military, it seems, but you know, when you stand at attention, you don't yawn. When you're at attention, you're at attention. You don't scratch, you know. My ear itches, you don't scratch. I remember when I was in basic training, I stood there. When you're at attention, you're at attention. You don't go like that, because it doesn't matter where that TI is with those the clips on his shoes and that hard-brimmed hat. He could be in another state. And if you're in attention and you scratch, he appears. Click, 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 and hits you with that brim of that hat. What are you doing? And he's all over you because you're at attention. When we're worshiping the Lord, How is it we could be so bored? How is it that our minds could wander about all of our other worries and concerns when we're standing before the one who controls all of it? How is it that we'd have another worry in the world? There's no fear, no awe in our worship. The fear of the Lord is missing. There's no fear and awe in his word. We're very familiar with it. So we take it sometimes and we'll just go, that proves what I'm trying to say. It's totally out of context, but we don't care. We just take it. It's from the Bible. And there's no fear of rightly dividing. If there's anything I learned from that conference with all of these brilliant minds, is that we need to have a fear of God when it comes to delivering the word of God. Because that's going away. There was a time when people didn't want to stand at the pulpit for fear of God. Now people are longing to stand there, and they don't even know the scriptures all that well. They just want the position. Man, it's awesome. I want to go up there and share what I think. Share my heart with people. We're losing the fear of God even in the pulpit today, where we don't look at and wrestle with a text and go, man, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Because this is truth. This is not just an idea. We need to study so that we rightly divide the word of God, lest we mislead people and make them more comfortable than they ought to be in their sin, or force them to follow rules that God never said he wanted them to follow. Fear in the word, but fear and awe in works. Serving the Lord. Giving our life to him. James said, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, faith is demonstrated by action, by service to God, by living your life in the manner of the word of God. Now, I know we've kind of categorized our Christianity, church, home, work, we categorize it. The Bible never does. And so we have this terminology, I've got to balance it. I need to balance it. There's got to be a balance. If you mean time I spend at home and time I spend here, then okay. But when it comes to serving the Lord and being all in for him, you don't balance it. You're all in. It's 100%. You say, Lord, what do you want? And he will lead you. It's not like he's only here at the church. If I do that, I'm going to be at the church all the time. That's not true. For some, he calls into the church. Others, he doesn't. But when you follow him completely, then he leads you. He'll tell you how to love your wife better than you. The 5 minutes he may give you with your wife or husband will be much better devoted the way he says to devote it than the 8 hours you might try to give. Because your 8 hours causes conflict, argument, drifting, everything else. So yeah, you're given more time, but nobody's happy. But God seems to lead us in the right ways, the right things. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You know what that means? I don't do what I want to do. I don't even do what I think I ought to do. I follow Christ. And whatever that leads me to. Now, if you give of your time, your talent, your energies, all of that to get something, then yes, you'll be out of balance because you won't get what you think you're going to get out of it. But if you give what you give completely to honor the Lord, you can never, ever give too much to God. Too much of yourself. Never. He said, if any of you leave father, mother, homes, lands for my sake, in other words, to follow me, and following me causes that kind of tension, you will gain so much more in the life to come. Following him. There is no balancing following him. You follow him. And besides, being busy about the Father's business keeps you from being aimless or drifting in the wrong direction. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." So heed the Lord, fear him, honor him. And then speaking of that great salvation, he says, "Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." The third thing to avoid drifting is confirm the Lord. What I mean is confirm that you believe in him. Confirm that you really do put all of your trust in him. Do you really trust him, or do you trust your own reasoning, your own experiences, your own thoughts? Do you really believe? Put your faith in him. You need to evaluate that sometimes. In your heart, do you believe? Salvation was spoken by the Lord, the idea of salvation. It was confirmed by those who heard it, and God bore witness with signs, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. It was spoken. From the very beginning, it was spoken. Did you know that 28% of the Bible is prophecy? It's unlike any other book, any other religion. The Bible is prophetic. It says, this is what's going to happen. Or, if this happens, this is what's going to happen. This is going to be the consequence. But if you do this, this is going to be the result. The Bible says that. It's alive. It challenges you. It says, test me in this. Because it's not just a book. It's the Word of God. So in there, there's the promise of a seed to come, back in Genesis, a Savior, a Redeemer. And we follow the line of that seed through these families. Adam, obviously. But then Abraham, there's this focus on Abraham and this promise of a seed to a man who seemed like he couldn't produce a child or an heir. But because God wanted to show he was doing this, he didn't use the most fruitful man on the planet. But a couple that was as good as dead as far as giving birth to a child. And then David. And we see that promise through him, that seed. Then there's a promise of land given, which we still look to today.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message. So be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message.
Now, God, about that land, said he would give the land unconditionally. That's yours. One day, ruling and reigning right there. That land. Unconditional promise. Now, there were conditions tied to your inhabiting it. It's going to be yours, but your ability to live in it depends upon your obedience. You're obedient, boom, I'll start to expand. But you're disobedient, I will remove you from the land. It'll be yours. I'll return you to it. I've got a promise to fulfill with it, but, you know, your obedience says a lot about what you get to enjoy. Then there's a promise of that kingdom, speaking of that land, that he would come and physically reign. One day, keep your eyes on that land, he says, because one day I'll come and everything I promised you, which you've never inhabited because of your disobedience, one day all of it you will inhabit, and I will be there and I will rule from that land. I will sit on the throne of David. So we look at the millennial reign of Christ. We look to that day, that being still unfulfilled. And then the promise of eternal life. These are some of the promises in the scriptures. It's prophetic. It speaks and declares the end from the beginning. Then he says, with signs and wonders, signs and miracles, excuse me. God has done signs and miracles throughout Israel's history. The creation, that was a miracle. The Red Sea crossing, that was a miracle. The walls of Jericho crumbling, a miracle. There is a God who leads his people. But as far as salvation is concerned, in that seed that was to come, Jesus performed miracles too. And these were signs that proved his messiahship. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, we read, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Prophetic. And Jesus told John the Baptist, or not John personally, but his disciples, because John was set up in prison, and John asked him, "Is he the one? Because I'm in prison, and it's not looking good." And so they ask, and Jesus says, "Tell them what you see. Tell them about these miracles that you see, because they attest to who I am." So signs and wonders, signs and miracles, but also gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. This is more personal. We can see creation. We can look at prophecy and see it unfold. We can look back and we know that there were signs and miracles in Jesus' life that attest to who he was. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's our personal, our personal experience with God that validates that he wasn't God. He is God. He's a deposit into our life so that our life begins to change and we have what's called a personal testimony, a personal witness. I don't believe the Bible because it makes sense. I just believe this over that one. There's more to it than that. I have walked with the Lord. I have experienced his hand in my life. I am not the same person as a result of a living God. Not because of what I've done or visions that I've had. Not because life got so bad I decided to turn the corner. Because there's a God who convicts and directs and transforms. The scripture says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." There is a God. And the Holy Spirit gives testimony to the fact that he is alive and that he is in you. Without that witness, you have no power to change. And 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge." Notice it begins with faith, trusting in him. That means following him. So that when you do, this is what's added. Virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect. It just means you won't fall off the edge into condemnation. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is a big deal, this text that we're reading today. It's like, he is great. He is greater than the angels. God has spoken through him. Fix your eyes on him. It's a big deal that you do that, because how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So heed the Lord, fear the Lord, and confirm the Lord in your heart. Do you really believe in him? This isn't about what we do, though. The whole Bible. It's not about what we do. One of our problems is we think the whole Bible's about us. And it's not. We fit in. It's about us in the sense that Jesus saves us. But it is about him, his plan, the unfolding plan going on right now. It's about what he has done and what he will do. See, without Christ, things become unclear. There's uncertainty in the world. We can become very fearful. Things are chaotic in our life, and things begin to fall apart. There's no foundation. And it can happen even to those in the church who go to church, who are involved in church as they drift, finding they really have no anchor. Charles Templeton is the great example, or one of the great examples of that, who was the Billy Graham of his day, leading many to Christ, had a large church, and one day, because of all that was going on with Nazi Germany and the killing of the Jews, and he said, "That's so evil, I don't know if I can believe in a good God. I can't reconcile the two." And he hit his brick wall, where he found he had no anchor in Christ. He lived this faith that made sense to him. And when it no longer made sense to him, he left. He left the faith. His anchor was not in Christ, but in his own understanding. And he drifted fast, so that he became an atheist and a very outspoken one against Christianity. It can happen to those in the church, and does, those who don't have their anchor in Christ. But with Christ, everything changes. There's hope. There's hope for you today, no matter what you may be experiencing with Christ. He brings clarity and direction. First, he brings transformation. Christ brings transformation into your life. Things change within you. I heard the story of a Calvary pastor who was addicted before he came to the Lord to heroin. And you guys have probably heard heroin is one of the most addictive drugs there is, and very few find themselves able to get off of it. And this man, while he was in prison, he cried out to the Lord and finally said, "Lord, I cannot shake this. If you will take this from me, if you will take it from me, I'll believe in you and I'll serve you with my life. But if you can't take this from me, I have no need of you." His heart was sincere. He said the next day, and from that day forward, he never had that craving. He had never done it ever again. And he ended up, you know, the Calvary Road, you know, he's a pastor now, ministering into that kind of a group that he'd come from. And God's using his life. There's transformation that happens within you with Christ. But he also brings restoration. As the transformation happens in you and you start thinking new thoughts and new ways and certain things are removed, guess what happens? Things around you begin to change. So there's restoration in relationships, in families, in your life. They couldn't take place otherwise. And then ultimately, he brings salvation. Things change for you. You have a new hope and a new future, and your eyes are fixed on it. So, I want to encourage you, as far as it depends on you, do what you need to do to avoid drifting. And be careful, be mindful that drifting happens very easily, very slowly, when we get our eyes off of Christ. Stop drifting. Start driving. No more aimless living.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in